The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 55. We're recording this on Thursday, July 28th. And, Chris, it's just you and I tonight, so we can be a little more casual and, blame Eric for things that go wrong.
Exactly. Like always.
So that'd be good. Exactly. We are the week after San Diego Comic-Con. So we have a little bit of news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. And in this, I don't know about you, Chris, but this also got me more thinking about what we're going to do at New York Comic Con. Because, you start hearing about all the things that are being released, all the trailers that they're getting to see, and it gets me pumped up and excited about going back to New York and seeing our stuff. We were talking before we started recording about the fact that it seems like we get a lot of movie information from San Diego, being earlier in the year, and then we get a lot of television type stuff at New York. I don't know if it's just the proximity to the fall season of television starting up or not, but and I'm kind of okay with that, because I like the television series that we're going to get more than just an hour and a half or 2 hours worth of content from.
Yeah, I'd much rather I told you this earlier but I would much rather see like all of the television stuff, just because don't get me wrong, I like seeing movie trailers, but sometimes a lot of that stuff is either exclusive or it really doesn't do a lot for me. I'd much rather hear about a TV series. Plus, that's really what I watch more of now, is TV instead of movies.
Okay.
So,
I mean, last year we got to see an episode early for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was kind of neat to see a whole episode. And then there was some really good panels on television. There was a panel for Con Man. It was really, really cool seeing all the cast members interact with that. That could have been an episode of Con Man all by itself, but it was a lot of fun. So, in matter of fact, I had my rant a few weeks ago about how we are having trouble getting tickets for New York Comic Con, and they just announced they were releasing tickets yesterday for Comic Con again. I guess the people that couldn't get fan verified or couldn't get their tickets assigned to somebody who was fan verified, those went back into the pool. And they opened up the fan verification again for, what, it was last week? The week before, I guess, they opened it up? July 10th or 12th, maybe, I think it was. And people could go on yesterday and get more tickets. I think it was only single-day tickets, though. So nobody's going to get a four-day pass for the nice price of $115 as opposed to paying almost that much money or more that for 3 days that we're doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a chance to get back. I don't know if you did. You try to want to get tickets for the Saturday that we did get tickets for?
No, I didn't bother.
Okay, yeah, I figured we got enough stuff we can do. New York is full of other fun things to do besides going to Comic Con, so we'll see some other stuff. But it was nice to know they were doing that and releasing more tickets. So it's kind of fun.
Plus, I haven't been to New York in like 10 years. So actually, it will actually be 10 years. This summer. Well, it's 10 years now this summer, but I went with on a big trip. I don't remember who it was with, but I went on a big trip with, like, on a tour bus with people.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting. I'll never forget, because it was during the World Cup, so.
Ah, you're a big soccer fan, so that's good to put those things in their time and place and remember where you were.
Yep.
You must be excited about the Olympics coming up for soccer for the Olympics.
I am, yeah. The men, unfortunately, did not qualify, but the women are playing, and hopefully they get the gold medal.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Olympics. That's the, we watch more sporting events than Eric does, but I'm still not a huge, huge sports fan. But I'm always excited for the Olympics every 4 years to see what happens. And you know, people that are amateurs getting the full spotlight for the biggest events in sports, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Although now that we have pros in some of the sports, it does take away a little bit of that prestige, I think. But yeah, it's a different topic, different podcast too, probably. So what we want to talk about is stuff we saw at, not that we saw, but stuff we saw online from San Diego Comic-Con. I wish I went to San Diego. We should get Justin on the show because he went there.
We really should. That'd be a good guest. If we knew Eric wasn't going to be here, then maybe we could.
Yeah, if Eric told us more than just 20 minutes ago, we could have called Justin and said, hey, you want to be on the show? And I'm sure he would have said yes after he got it cleared by everybody at Disney and Lucasfilm mm-hmm. and everything else. But there was a bunch of new trailers that dropped for movies. And I was taken by surprise by a lot of the stuff. I don't know about you, Chris, but I mean, I didn't expect to see half the stuff that we saw from DC.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the biggest one, I think, was the Justice League trailer. I don't go in for spoilers too much. I do try to stay up on the news, but I had no idea they were ready to release a trailer for this.
I didn't either.
And I guess this isn't really a trailer. It was a footage reel they showed at New York Comic at San Diego Comic Con, and it is public. It is out on the internet now. You can see it. Focuses mainly on Aquaman, with a little bit of focus on the Flash, from what I saw, and it's kind of cool. And yet there's still no mention at all of Superman.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Well, it kind of makes sense to me, though, if it's going to be a big reveal at some point. I mean, we know he's not gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no spoilers for what happened at the end of Batman v Superman, but we know he's going to be around. The guy is too big of a property not to have going forward, and he's a big part of the Justice League, so I would imagine he's going to be here. And, is it halfway through the movie? Is it be the very end of the movie? I don't know, but they didn't even go in that direction. They didn't even mention anything that happened in Batman v Superman, but they're just talking about the new characters. We got to see some good clips of Aquaman. We got to see some good clips of Barry Allen, the Flash, and it looks really, really good.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about it?
I was, okay, first, this is number two on my favorite trailers of what we'll talk about here. But I was very, very impressed because I'm not a DC fan except for Batman. And I thought this looked just, it looks really good. I think maybe DC finally has something worth seeing.
That was the buzz after this came out. And it took me probably a day and a half to get to watch this after it was, everybody talking about it. I was at work. I couldn't get to stuff. I saw you guys talking on Slack, on our Slack channel for the network all day long about how good these things were. And this is an awesome trailer. I was like, oh, man, I got to see this thing. And you're absolutely right. It does feel different than what DC's done in the past. It feels more, I don't know, epic, kind of like the Marvel stuff mm-hmm. has. And it doesn't seem to have any of that quirky stuff that we got in Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, I was thinking of, because I watched the trailer for Doctor Strange earlier before we started recording. And the tone, I can't describe why, but the tone of a DC film versus Marvel is really different. And though I like it in the Marvel movies, something about this particular Justice League trailer, I don't know, I just, it's different, and obviously it's different superheroes and different, that they're taking a different approach to it. But it's nice to see because, there's always potential of, confusion, and mm-hmm. you don't want to make your superhero properties look too similar,
Well, I mean, I will say this, that the...
You basically don't want another Avengers with different superheroes.
Right. Exactly. But that's what Marvel and DC have always done. It's, you get the same characters on both sides of those companies, just with different names. And they have very similar origins. They have very similar powers. It that always strikes me as being very bizarre in the comic book world. But this movie does feel cinematically, it looks amazing from what they've shown us in this trailer. I've got it kind of playing in the background here without the sound on, and it's awesome in the fact that it looks dark, it looks gritty,
mm-hmm.
but it's got a little bit of lightheartedness to it too. It's not just so deep and dark and in your face like the Dark Knight movies were, you know.
Yeah,
this has got a feeling of it like, okay, he's trying to pull something together, and he's got a little bit of comedy going in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to hear Eric's comments on this because, you know, he really liked Ben Affleck's portrayal of Bruce Wayne and Batman, and this looks like it just picks up right where it left off. He looks like a really good Bruce Wayne at this point,
mm-hmm.
trying to pull together the Justice League. You know, all these heroes coming together, and it looks really, really fun. And he does a great job. I was a little skeptical. I wasn't as high on him after Batman v Superman as Eric was, but I'm starting to really like him as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I didn't see Batman v Superman, but after watching this trailer, I kind of want to go back and watch it now just for Batman.
Okay. I mean, you know, like Eric said, you know, grab the extended version copy and mm-hmm. see that. Because it makes more sense. I haven't seen that yet myself, but man, this just looks really, really cool.
Yeah. One thing I liked was the portrayal of the Flash. Now, I don't watch the show on the CW, but I plan to eventually. But and I don't really know anything about the Flash himself as a character, but I liked Ezra Miller as the character. He was in one of my favorite movies, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And I think he's just based on that movie alone, he's a really good actor. So I like the freshness he brings to this. Because it had a sort of a lighthearted comedic tone to it, which, you know, contrast it with Bruce Wayne and Batman, I think it can really work.
And I like the fact that they haven't revealed what the big baddie is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want that to be a surprise, but I also don't want this to be a race to get a team together to face whatever ultimate evil is out there. Because to me, that always seems like when a movie does that, it seems so far-fetched that, okay, we've got this super enemy that nobody can beat by themselves, but we're going to put this team together, like on a spur of the moment, and go kick its butt. When a team needs to learn how to work together. I mean, you can't just put these five guys together and say, okay, now we're going to kick your butt because we're more powerful than you are. You're probably less powerful if you have five people that don't know how to work together.
Mm-hmm.
So, this seems like it's just about the building of the team. I'm sure there is some big baddie to fight, but they haven't revealed that, and I'm okay with that so far in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy that plays... Aquaman in this movie?
I'm trying to
find it.
Because I was just on the Justice League page.
Jason Momoa, that's it.
Now, who is that?
He was in Stargate Atlantis.
Okay.
And I really liked him in that portrayal. He played one of the aliens. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with Aquaman because he looks so different than you would think of what I would think of Aquaman. I mean, my Justice League experience over growing up was the Super Friends on Saturday morning television. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I come from. I didn't really read the comics all that much, but I look at Aquaman as a clean cut looking, blonde haired white guy.
I didn't even know that was Aquaman until I looked at the description for the trailer.
Okay. Yeah. It was funny because that's why I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's a really different take from what I'm used to of Aquaman. Mm. So, looking at what he's done in the past here, that's movies, television. He was in Baywatch, Hawaii. Interesting. Stargate Atlantis. He's played in Game of Thrones. He was called Drogo on Game of Thrones. And nothing else I really see that I remember him from. But Stargate Atlantis, I liked his character there. He played a big, mean alien. It was kind of supporting the team. So that was fun. So yeah, so Justice League, I am looking forward to this movie. Now I finally have a DC movie that I can look forward to, and I think it may actually do well. And in our next movie draft, if I'm a part of that when this comes up, I definitely think I'd want this in my staple of movies. Mm-hmm. See, also from DC, another one that kind of knocked it out of the park, I thought, was Wonder Woman.
This movie looks so good.
I can tell you're excited about this one.
Yes, I watched this with zero expectations. Again, I haven't seen Batman versus Superman, which I hear the Wonder Woman stole the show in that. But I absolutely cannot wait for this.
Yeah, you know, this is my feeling exactly when I saw the trailer. I liked her in Batman v Superman, although I didn't think she belonged there. I mean, I liked her character. I liked what she did with it. I liked what they used her for. But I just didn't think we needed to have her there. I was like, why did we have her in this movie? You know, it's not Batman v Superman and Wonder Woman. It's, you know, why was she there? It didn't make sense with the writing of the story. But her as Wonder Woman, oh man, I think it works really, really well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a different... It seems to me right now as a different take on Wonder Woman as a whole, because I'm not familiar with the character at all. Again, I'm not a comic reader. I like superheroes, but I don't know their origins, and I don't know how they're portrayed in comics. And I watched a little bit of, you know, superhero cartoons when I was young, but, you know, for the most part, you know, it went right over my head. So, again, I have really no expectations for this, but it seems different and fresh and something that a lot of people will enjoy.
You know, you and I have a lot of the same background when it comes to comics, comic book movies, characters. We never read the comics as kids. We never really got into it that much. We know of it from pop culture. We know of it from TV shows and other movies. Mm-hmm. So my experience with Wonder Woman was from the, was it 70s, I guess it was, the 1970s TV series?
Oh, yeah.
With Linda Carter. And, you know, I don't know how close that was to the comics. I enjoyed it as a kid. I'm sure it's pretty horrible if I watch it now, kind of like a lot of the 70s stuff is. But, you know, this as an origin story for Wonder Woman looks really, really cool. You know, between her and Chris Pine, I think that chemistry looks pretty good. It's kind of awkward at first, but it's supposed to be, you mm-hmm. know. You know, he washes up on her island and she has no experience dealing with men, which is kind of cool. And he's like, what, you've never seen a man before? It's kind of interesting. So, but yeah, I am looking forward to this movie so much. This has given me hope that DC is really on the right track, because they've had so many just fits and starts over the last 10 years. And it's like Marvel's just laughing all the way to the bank going, yeah, okay, you guys can't get this right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But man, this movie looks really, really awesome. Oh man, I just can't say enough about this, because I think she is a fantastic actress to play Wonder Woman. Definitely, when you watch Batman v Superman, let me know what you think of her portrayal as Wonder Woman, because she's just plays it so low key, I guess what you'd say, when she's in, you know, Diana Prince's you know, persona, when she's not, you know, in costume as Wonder Woman. It just fits so well. So I wish we had more news about that. I wish we had more information about that. But Wonder Woman's scheduled for June of 2017. So we've got about 11 months, unfortunately. You know, this might be a good time to have a big panel for Wonder Woman at New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be about, 8 months away from the release of the movie? That'd be kind of cool.
Well, this is also unique because, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as movies go, Marvel doesn't have anything that is at least a standalone non-team-up movie that deals with a female, right?
I don't think they do. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, they have... Well, they will eventually have Captain Marvel, which we'll mm-hmm. talk about later. And they have Jessica Jones on Netflix. But,
yep.
You know, this is the first, you know, female-led superhero movie that we're getting that's going to be good, or we assume will be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only other thing I've seen recently was Supergirl on CBS coming to CW this fall.
And even that's still DC, so...
Yeah, exactly. So this is kind of cool they're doing that. And this is one of those times where, hey, it's a female character. It's always been a female character. I'm glad they're keeping it as such and just coming forward with it. I mean, although, we talked before about how they change everything and kind of put different minority roles into things when they feel they want to get some more diversity. They could have been a man, Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Man.
Somehow, I don't think that would go over very well.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't do that, would they? But I can see a guy in a little short skirt or little shorts with like the bustier thing.
Oh man,
I kid. Oh, what else did we get from San Diego? This one didn't thrill me at all. Did you see the trailer for Kong Skull Island?
I saw parts of it because I think it was like it showed up on my ads on YouTube, and I just skipped over it because I'm not a fan of King Kong at all. So I don't really care.
I don't mind the stories of King Kong. I think that it could be kind of cool. I mean, the original, old movie of him in New York climbing, the Empire State Building and swatting at planes and stuff. I mean, really bad special effects, but it was kind of cool. This, on the other hand, doesn't look even remotely interesting to me. Big names. You've got Tom Hiddleston. You've got Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson. But it's, first of all, I don't understand where it's starting from, where they're, they're going to Skull Island for some reason, and helicopters crash. They all end up in the island, and they're fighting King Kong now. For some reason, it just seems like, it's a big monkey. Mm-hmm. It's like you should be able to kind of, stand back with your helicopters or whatever off, well away and take him out. How can you make a movie about this today? I mean, doesn't it seem like our military might is stronger than something like this would be? I mean, how do you make this character menacing today?
Yeah.
They don't show much of him in the trailer. You get a couple shots of his legs when they're flying towards him, and I think the head coming up behind a ledge at some point in the trailer. Yeah, so I just don't get the whole aspect of how menacing a big ape can be. I mean, doesn't it seem like our military power has gotten to the point where we shouldn't have to worry about him swatting our helicopters out of the sky? I mean, couldn't we just back up a couple of miles and fire Tomahawk cruise missiles at him? the whole premise of the movie just doesn't make sense to me in this day and age.
Yeah, it doesn't me either.
So, and it doesn't help with Samuel L. Jackson being all gung-ho about, this is a man's world now. We're going to show him who's boss. It's like, oh my God. It seems like something out of the 90s. I'm just like, okay, I don't think this is going to do well in the theaters.
It probably won't. I mean, I remember when the Peter Jackson King Kong movie came out, and I don't know how well that did because I didn't see it. But I saw an article, I can't remember where or who posted it or what it was even about. But I think I saw that the premise was about how every movie that comes out now is really, especially this summer, was all about like sequels and reboots and... there's hardly anything original, and Hollywood's kind of taken a beating because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are we wasting valuable time and effort on franchises that no one really cares about anymore? Like no one is just dying for a King Kong movie.
Yeah, this shouldn't be the first movie I would think of. I say, let's do a remake of, name that film, and this is not the one I'd say yes, let's do.
Yeah, like I can see when the one in 2005 came out, that's fine.
Well, that one was set in the same time frame. It's set in an older style time frame, so it kind of fit the bill of okay, we don't have all this excellent technology we can, you know, take out this big ape with. You know, it was a period piece, but you know, even that didn't do very well, because I'm looking here at IMDb or Wikipedia. It says the film's budget was initially set at $150. It went to a record-breaking $207 million budget. Opening weekend, it made $50 million. So, you know, even then, it didn't do well. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, so now you're going to do another one, you know, 12 years later. I don't know. How do you get a studio sign on for paying for this?
That's a great question. I'm glad that I wasn't in the room, because I would have thrown a fit.
Yeah. You want to do what? Are you kidding me? Oh, it just seems really a bad idea. So we will see what this does when it's released. What is the date for this one going to be? March of 17. So this will be an early season. I guess they're hoping to get it in before all the big movies come out in the late spring, early summer. So I bet this will be under $50 million opening. I bet it'll be like a $40 million opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see it doing all that well, even though it has some big names in it. I mean, I'm surprised. When I was looking at the trailer, I'm like, really? Really? And, you know, you look at the list here, as you said, Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, John Goodman's in it. He's got a pretty big role, I think, actually, too. But it's like, wow, these people are all pretty top names right now. And you're doing King Kong? Really? Okay. We shall see. What else do we have? Oh, there's a trailer for a new Netflix property coming out. We haven't talked much about Marvel this time around. So Luke Cage has a trailer coming out. Now, I don't know anything about the Luke Cage character. I know he's, you know, a pretty strong guy, supposed to be pretty badass when it comes to that kind of stuff. But the trailer looked really, really cool. I'm not a big fan of the music they played, kind of a rap style music playing in the background, but he rips the door off of like an armored car or a, you know, armored SUV, and he uses it as a shield. he just goes blowing through walls, knocking guys out. I mean, it looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's in that realistic style that Marvel's done lately, where you feel like this could be in our world today, which I really, really like. They've done a really good job with the other properties they have on Netflix. I haven't seen everything from Daredevil and Jessica Jones, but I'm about halfway through Jessica Jones, and I'm probably halfway through the first season of Daredevil. And I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far. Everybody loves the stuff that they've seen, that they've seen all of it. Are you starting those series too, Chris, or are you like me where you haven't really got into them too much?
I haven't got into it.
Okay.
Just because I have so much TV to watch. And, you know, they just come up, and then I'm like, oh, I'll get around to watching that. Well, then season two comes out, and I just feel way behind. So
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm a slave to my DVR, and I got to get home and watch it before I start losing stuff off the back end of the DVR. But, oh, man, it's just I don't have time to watch any more shows. Netflix isn't bad because you can always get them out there. They're out there for you all the time, and you can binge watch them if you have time. I need to break out more time to watch shows. These are the kind of shows I can't do multitasking either. I can do some shows while I'm doing something else, but you really need to watch these things and really pay attention to them. So I feel like if I did that, I would be not doing any favors to the franchise or to myself. So this next story should make Mike pretty happy from our network here as well. He's a big Rocketeer fan. In fact, that's his name on a lot of our social media and stuff that he does. The Rocketeer is getting a reboot. Now, did you see the original movie?
I have not. I've seen it in an antique store one time, and I almost got it strictly because of Mike, but I passed on it.
You're going to make Mike feel really bad in an antique store.
Yeah.
Wow. Usually the old jokes go to me, Chris. I feel better about this now.
It was even on DVD too, so.
I thought this was on VHS. No. Yeah, I saw it on VHS. I didn't know how to play that in my DVR though, so I didn't get it. But yeah, you know, this is kind of a cult classic movie, the original one at least. I ended up seeing it bits and pieces. I don't think I've seen the whole thing of it. But it has a real cult following to it. It never did well in the theaters. I think it was kind of a sleeper hit for Disney, where it should have done much better than it really did. But they never did anything with the property. I mean, the original movie was from 91, I think, was it? That rings a bell to me. Yeah, 1991, Billy Campbell and Jennifer Connelly. So, you know, here we are years and years later, we're probably getting a reboot for this movie. And this came out, I think, today in the news that we saw this. And they're saying, oh, you know, it's a new movie with a twist. And, of course, I think I hear twist, I'm like, oh, okay, what are they changing in this movie now? You know, what twist do we have to get to appease some other group that wants to have, oh, we want to have this character be, you know, green or something, you know, who knows? But the twist in this one is going to be the Rocketeer is going to be a female character, and she's going to be an African-American female character. So we don't have, you know, the standard white guy, you know, action hero going forward with the new franchise. In a way, this does kind of work for me, though. I mean, I'm not big on changing things just to change things. But this one does kind of work because it's not really just a brand new version of the movie. It's going to be kind of a reboot, but set a few years after the original movie was. So in this movie, the Rocketeer is missing or disappeared. And this other woman picks up the mantle and takes on what he was doing. And I got the impression from one of the stories I read, there was going to be more than one Rocketeer. Did you read anything about this yet, Chris?
I saw just a brief article about it that just said that the title character would be a black female, but that's all I read. I didn't know anything about that.
Okay, you know, it's funny when they do that kind of thing, that title just comes out and makes a big statement, and everybody picks the story up and runs with it. So, in one way, it's actually very smart by the studios to do this, because now it's getting all this extra press coverage because they have changed it to a minority female lead. So I guess smart on them for doing it, but hopefully the story fits. I mean, I don't mind changes as long as the story fits what they're changing. If you're changing it just to change it because we want to have a female lead. Like, you know, I mean, I said it during one of our podcasts for Star Wars that I wasn't real excited to hear that the lead for Rogue One was going to be a woman. And nothing against it. I mean, it just, it feels like, oh, we have to have a woman lead. We have to have a woman lead. I'm like, why do we have to? You know, it should be whatever the story needs is what you should have for the characters. You know, I mean, I am not opposed to having a woman in a lead role for this, but make sure the story fits what you have. I mean, it's kind of like when you're giving a review, you don't say, oh, it was a great movie, and then, well, it had this wrong. Don't say anything positive about it. You gotta give it a, you know, if it's a positive movie, you gotta give it a positive spin.
Yeah.
You can't just say one thing and then totally not back it up.
Well, this also allows for, well, two things, really. One, it will potentially get people more aware of what Rocketeer is. And maybe we'll call for a re-release of the first one. And, you know, I'm sure Disney would love that.
Oh, I mean, Disney's good at doing that kind of thing. If they can re-release the original movie even before this comes out, that'd be fantastic. I mean, in the article here from The Hollywood Reporter, let's see, it says, the Rocketeer was based on a popular 1980s indie comic. And let's see, and like Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark was paying homage to serials of the 1930s and 40s. So it had that kind of feel to it. I think it was set during World War II, wasn't it, the original movie?
I'm not sure.
If I remember correctly. Let's see, the Joe Johnson directed movie starred Billy Campbell and Jennifer Connelly. Let's see. Timothy Dalton's an Errol Flynn type actor who is a Nazi spy. Okay, yes, it must have been during World War II. Yeah, the movie only grossed $46 million when it came out, and let's see, opened in fourth its opening weekend. It was pummeled by Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, City Slickers, and Dying Young. So it was up against three pretty tough movies the weekend it came out. I mean, Prince of Thieves did really well, as I remember correctly. City Slickers was an amazing comedy, and Dying Young, I can't remember what that one was about, but I thought that was a pretty good movie at the time too. Let's see here. Disney hosted 20th anniversary in 2011. Let's see. Story still set in the same period, offering a fresh view on characters. Set 6 years after the original Rocketeer, and after Rocketeer's vanished while fighting the Nazis, an unlikely hero emerges. A young African-American female pilot takes up the mantle of the Rocketeer in an attempt to stop ambitious and corrupt rocket scientists from stealing the jetpack technology in what could prove to be a turning point in the Cold War. Yeah, so, I mean, it does make sense from what they've said here. So, this is one of those times where I think this may work out really well for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I hope the story does match up. It sounds like it will.
Yeah, I think, too, it'll really help there'll be a chance for this new version of the character to have her own identity and mm-hmm. not have to be compared to the original.
Right. Right, you're not just changing it and having this be the same character, just female. It's a new person picking up that suit and going with it. So mm-hmm. that could work. And you know, this would be interesting to see how well this does compare to the original, because now Disney has a lot more experience with superhero-type movies. I mean, you know, they've been associated with Marvel for a number of years now. They have the Star Wars franchise. So they're getting into doing these bigger blockbuster movies that have a big fan following in the sci-fi action genre. So this could be good for them. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't have anything for the What Were They Thinking Weekly. You know, without Eric to pull these kind of stories out of thin air, I don't know what to really do here. there was one thing I saw. There's a movie coming out, and let me just find the story here. Well, the title of the article Eric had posted from Gizmodo was "Begging a Ghost Could Be a Terrible Idea." And the Lace Carter trailer will show you why. It says, at first, the trailer for Lace Carter might fool you into thinking it's a movie about mumblecore hotties enjoying a long weekend. Nope, it's really about why you should never, ever have sex with a ghost. I haven't heard of this movie at all. I guess it's coming out this Friday. It's video on demand the same time. But yeah, it says, it turns out there are spooky side effects that a Google search on, quote, STD sex with ghost can absolutely not explain. I didn't even know this was a thing. Leave it to Eric to find something like this. But, yeah, so I guess that's What Were They Thinking Weekly. I guess we'll throw that in there. It's called Lace Carter. And there's a trailer out there. Playlist. Where's the... sorry, opening up a new window here. The playlist had the story. I'm trying to get the original right now. Maybe there's a trailer. I should probably watch the trailer. Might freak me out, though. Sex with a ghost. That's kind of weird. The link must be broken. It's not opening up for me here. So that was our What Were They Thinking Weekly. Sex with a ghost. Don't do it.
Solid advice there.
I thought so. Couple things in the lightning round for us, I think you got?
Yeah, just two things. The first is Kurt Russell is going to play Star-Lord's father in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which I'm pretty sure got a secret trailer at Comic-Con that no one saw except...
Yeah, I haven't seen the footage. I read some stuff from the panel. I think there was some footage shown. And the other thing is, too, Kurt Russell's character, not what you may think, too. It's... He plays the living planet. I'm not big in the comics again, so I don't know what that meant, but I guess compo fans probably will. But I guess there's a living planet that fathered Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing is Brie Larson is going to be Captain Marvel, which I like because, one, I like Brie Larson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't? And two, I didn't know this until I looked it up before the show, but Captain Marvel has not only been one character throughout their run, it's been multiple characters, and they're choosing one that is a female, which is good, and mm-hmm. it's Brie Larson, so that's double the fun, and should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I can fault them for putting Brie Larson in that role. I mean, that's a pretty solid pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like you said, this is a good blend that has, you know, if they've done multiple characters in the past, I think it's good they're doing this. It's not just, okay, let's take let's make a new Spider-Man movie and make Spider-Man a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, no, the character is a man. I don't care if it's, you know, not what you think it is, but it's still a man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they have changed this, and I want to say the current character in the comic books is a female as well, too. So that is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll get more about that in New York.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Because they didn't show us anything from that or Guardians of the Galaxy, and maybe we'll get one or two of those, one or the other in New York. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Let's see, in the results of the box office this week, pretty interesting results, if you ask me. I read somewhere last week that this was the first weekend this year where the top five movies all broke $20 million. And I think it's only the sixth time it's ever happened, which is, you know, pretty cool if you ask me. I mean, typically we've been seeing a lot of it lately where one movie just runs away with it for the weekend and the other ones are all, you know, floundering in the teens or single digits for millions of box office take. But this weekend we had five. So Star Trek Beyond, you know, no surprise there, is number one in its first week, but it only made $59 million.
Yeah, very, very underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I know somebody's been very sad about that. I think Joel, mm-hmm. from our in our Slack channel, he bid I think $52 on this for the movie draft. I think it's not going to do well for him as far as box office results go. If it made $59 million this weekend, you figure it's going to do maybe half that next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe it's going to top out about $110 million between the week in between and in the two weekends. That doesn't bode well. Now, Chris, you were saying that the previous movie, Into Darkness, had done like $30 million more, I think it was, in 6 days?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
It was like 70 versus 90 or 60 versus 90.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was just domestic or if it was worldwide, but yeah, it was...
Yeah, it sounds like domestic. That probably is domestic numbers, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, that's a shame because I thought Star Trek Beyond was actually a pretty good movie. It didn't have some of the same failings that the last movie did. It wasn't trying to be something it wasn't. It wasn't trying to hide something from you until, you know, until the reveal on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the visuals was pretty good. I thought they're growing the characters in the right direction. It felt natural. So yeah, I'm impressed with the franchise as it's going forward. Both the rest of the top five here, Secret Life of Pets in its third week made another almost $30 million, $29.6 million, bringing its grand total for 3 weeks up to $261 million. So that was obviously a good buy in our movie draft.
Mm-hmm.
Lights Out was a first week release of a horror movie. This is the top horror movie for the week. Made $21.7 million. Ice Age Collision Course, this is what, the fourth or fifth or... hopefully last movie in the Ice Age franchise, made $21.4 million. And Ghostbusters, in its second week, brought another $21 million in for $86.3. And again, I've got to think that's a disappointment from the studio's perspective.
Well, let me ask you this. I just looked up the Ghostbusters budget. And before I tell you, do you think that it will make its budget?
Oh, I don't know.
Now, I don't know about
it's 80
worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just assume domestic alone. Do you think it'll get to its budget? Without me telling you,
86 now. I'm going to say no. I imagine its budget is probably north of 150.
It is 144.
Okay, so it's close. But yeah, it's got to make another $60 million to get there. Another, you know, $55 million at least. That's a hard ask, I think.
Yeah, let me see what... we'll see. Right now, it says... I just did Ghostbusters box office on Google, and it said it got $122.9 million U.S. dollars, but I don't know... I don't know if that's right.
For what? For international? Worldwide?
Yeah, well... right now, according to Box Office Mojo, it has made domestically $94,318,000 $318,168, and then 36 million foreign, so worldwide of 130.
Okay.
So I guess these numbers are just a little outdated.
Yeah, a little, the ones I had were from the Link Aircat. I got them tonight. They're actually from IMDb's box office charts. I don't know why he uses that instead of Box Office Mojo, because we use Box Office Mojo for our movie draft.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see that. It was 94 million domestic.
And it'll be cutting it close. I don't think foreign it will do much better. And domestically, it might hit 100. And if it hits 100, then it might break even. But it's not going to make much money.
Mm.
At least just based on its box office alone.
Well, I mean, if it's 94 million domestically, it's only made 36 million more internationally.
Mm-hmm.
That seems awful small.
Yeah.
And remember, when you talk about like budgets for production, that does not include any of the marketing numbers.
Yeah, that is true.
So, and they marketed a lot for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think they put a lot of power behind this movie, trying to think it was going to do really, really well. And I mean, I'm sure I'll see it on video, but I'm not going to vote with my dollars in the movie theater. There's no way. No way.
Speaking of Star Trek, it has its domestic right now is 77 million. And it's worldwide, it's 117 million. So that'll be interesting to see what it is next week.
Yep. Box Office Mojo has a breakdown of the three new Trek movies. Compare them here. I'm trying to see what they have. Movie summary. 257 for the first one, 228 for the second one, and we're at 77 for the third one now. So I don't know. It's gonna be hard to get there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see. I hope it does well because I do like the Star Trek franchise, and I think these new ones are going in the right direction. Let's see. This week in the theaters, we have Bad Moms. That's the movie with Mila Kunis, and it looks funny. It does look like a funny movie, but it's got a 60% in Rotten Tomatoes. Nerve, that is the movie with, I don't know who's in this one, to tell you the truth.
Emma Teenagers. Roberts is in it, I know that.
Oh, okay, yep. And this movie looks pretty interesting. Concept behind this is you sign into a website and you're either going to be a player or a payer. And if you're a player, you basically say, okay, it's like truth or dare for money. They say, okay, I will do things, and you tell me what to do and pay me.
Mm-hmm.
And they show scenes, and they're like, you know, jumping off a building or taking off your clothes and running through a restaurant or something like that. And it looks pretty interesting because they're going to hijack somebody's life and kind of put them through the ringer. And so, yeah, that'd be a good one for Blu-ray, I think, or streaming.
See, you know, I'm going to see this just because I got it in my movie draft.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know if I'm going to spend money to see it in the theater.
Dave Franco is the other lead in this. So,
what else he been in?
He was in, I believe, he was in the Neighbor. Was he in the Neighbors movies?
Oh, well, maybe
he was in. He was in Neighbors. He was in Now You See Me 1 and 2. He was in Jump Street movies.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Now, is that Dave Franco? Is he the brother of James Franco?
I don't know.
They do look similar.
Let's see. James Franco is a sibling, yes.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I just saw it there. Cool. Well, I wish him well. Hope that does well for him.
Mm-hmm. And me.
And you, of course. Yes. You got the shaft in the first movie draft. So I hope your stuff does well for you in the second one here. So, and that's always, Jason Bourne is the third movie out this weekend. And that's the one I'm looking forward to. But I was surprised to see it only had a 55% in Rotten Tomatoes. Much sad about that because I like the Bourne franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the character was good. I thought the concept behind it was excellent. I didn't care for the last one. That one didn't have what's his name in it? I'm drawing a blank here. Who's the main actor in Bourne?
Is it Matt Damon?
Matt Damon, that's it. Yeah, the last Bourne movie did not have Matt Damon in it. But it was still pretty good, but not as good as it should have been. So otherwise, I think we are done a little bit early. So, well, wait. Chris has got a last-minute addition here. I forgot about this.
This week marked, back 2 days ago, as of the time of this recording, marked the release of the book Dark Matter by Blake Crouch.
Yes.
Which...
Now, you already read the whole book, right? You went through it all? Yep. I started it a couple weeks ago in one of the review copies we got, and... I'm a slow reader. I read at night when I go to bed and I fall asleep, so I don't get as much done as I'd like to. I consume most of my books on audiobook. And today we were talking on Slack and I saw it was actually been released for 2 days. I'm like, oh my God, I have credits to burn on Audible. So I downloaded it and I started listening to it the way home tonight.
How is the audiobook?
It's good. It's good. The voice actor is pretty good for that. I can't remember who his name is, but he does a pretty good job with it. And I started from the beginning again. I didn't pick up from where I left off reading it. I'm probably about 40% of the way through the book, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Reading it, but now I'm starting it audio-wise, and I'm about where the very first section of the book where he's still, the guy in the backseat of the SUV with him, where he's being, held. Yeah, so that's kind of where I am right now. But it's funny, too, because I was just getting into some of the hard science part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I had no idea it was going this direction, but this is really awesome. And I'm like, oh, now I can start the audiobook. Oh, damn it. I got to listen to the audiobook. I got to catch up. But yeah, no, that's a great book so far. I haven't finished it. I imagine since you're so happy about this, it must finish really well too. So
yes, my only complaint with it, and I'm actually in the process of writing a review for the book on randomchatter.com, which will be released probably in the next week or two. I don't know. But literally my only complaint with this book is that it had to end.
That's a good way to do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've not been that happy with a book in a very long time.
Cool. So. And, it's always good when you get a book that's good that you love reading, because I'll go back and read them again. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an audiobook or an actual physical Dead Tree book, I will go back and reread books that I thought were excellent. Even though you've read it once, you get more stuff out of it the second time. I feel like you pick up more things. It's like watching a movie for the second time. Mm-hmm. A little more time investment, but I do like doing that. So this may become a yearly listen to for me, because I've got a few books like that I go back to every year and listen to. This may be one of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to find out what you think of when you
Well, I'll probably be done with it by mid next week, because it's 10 hours long, about half hour, 45 minutes each way in the car, so I'll be done with it pretty quick.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's unfortunately not a huge it's not a long read.
As an audiobook, 10 hours is pretty good. I find most of them between 10 and 12 hours. Decent length novel. Some of the longer ones, some of the Stephen King supposed to do is like 20, 25, 30 hours. You're like, oh my God, it just gets so boring, so long. But 10 hours is a pretty good time for an audiobook, I think. So I'm looking forward to getting to the end already. I'm excited because I want to know what's going on. So now, did it leave it open for a sequel? Is it possible?
Yeah, actually. It is. Okay. I never really thought of a sequel, but it's certainly possible. I don't know where the story could go.
Yep.
But it is certainly possible.
Well, that's something we'll have to ask Mr. Crouch when we have him on the show, because we will be interviewing him next month. I'm looking forward to that. And I'll definitely have this book finished before then. So
yeah.
So unless you got something else up your sleeve, Chris, I think we are about done for this week.
I think that's about it.
Okay, cool. Well, in that case, we'll get to the closing here. If anybody has any feedback for us, you want to talk about what we, you know, if you have any questions or any comments on the trailers that we talked about, you know, what your thoughts are on the upcoming movies, if you think we're way off base or if you think we're spot on, you know, send us an email. You can do that at OuterRim. At randomchatter.com. You can also find us on social media online. We are on the Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We are on Twitter, Outer Rim Podcast. See, it was right this time. It wasn't for the wrong show like it was last time. But, so at Outer Rim Podcast is the feed for the podcast. At Random Chatter is for the network itself. And you can find us individually on Twitter. I am at Lou Secchi. It's Lousecki. Chris, where can they find you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
And you can find Eric also on Twitter. He's at Eric Blythe. It's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. You can also listen to our other shows, randomchatter.com. You can find all of our other shows over there. We have a whole host of things to listen to. The Retro Convo, we have Echo Base, we have Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, Random Chatter Show. We have the newest show on the network, Cordcast. And Chris, what episode are you guys up to on that?
Well, we were going to record episode one because we had episode negative one for Patreon people. Episode zero for our first official release. And we were going to record episode one this week, but unfortunately schedules didn't work out the way we wanted to. So that'll probably have to wait because I wanted to do two July releases, but it looks like we'll just have to wait and save it for August. So
okay. Well, I'm behind. I haven't listened to episode zero yet, so I'll have to get on that.
Oh, you definitely need to.
I really enjoyed episode negative one. That was fun. You guys did a good job of that. And I'm looking forward to really getting into and discovering more new music because, you know, once you get out of the college scene and you're in the real world, I find it's harder to discover new music as much as I used to because I don't have that access anymore. I'm not into that scene. But, you know, I still love hard music. I still love other music, and I want to find new bands to listen to, and I'm counting on you guys to put me in the right direction.
Well, hopefully we can offer you something.
No pressure. Yeah, no pressure.
So you guys can spread the word about the show if you want, but we would appreciate it. Leave reviews for us on iTunes and Stitcher, and tell your friends about us as well. Just a note, we will be on Google Play eventually. I know people have been asking us about that. And it's kind of a process, so there's a few things we have to take care of before we can do that. So eventually we will be on Google Play, and you can listen to us there.
You know, Chris, remember, we can just blame Eric because he's not here.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's Eric's fault we're not on Google Play. Yeah.
You can also listen to us live. We record Echo Base on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Eastern, and Thursdays we do Random Chatter and Outer Rim at 9 o'clock Eastern. This week, unfortunately, we're not live again because of Eric.
Exactly, yeah.
But normally you can find us there. Just go to randomchatter.com/live. You can also search for us directly on Ustream. Just search Random Chatter and you'll find us. And you can also support us on Patreon. That is at patreon.com/randomchatter. We love not only your support, but we also love giving back to our audience and to our listeners. And my personal favorite thing, as we always mention, is the Slack channel. It's normally $10, but right now we have it discounted for $8 a month. And it's loads of fun. Someone today was actually talking about how it was the middle of the workday and we're all in Slack. And then someone earlier just said that, you know, it's nighttime and it's dead. So,
you know, it's kind of funny because my new job, I'm not able to get online as much as I used to be able to. So now I feel like I'm neglecting the Slack channel all day long. And when I'm off and able to get on Slack, nobody's talking. And all day long, my Apple Watch is beeping. I keep looking. I'm like, I can't. I want to get on there and talk about this. So it's frustrating for me, but it is a lot of fun. A lot of good comments going on there. So, yeah, we really do appreciate all the support for the Patreon people. So I guess that's about it. So until next week, take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.